His presence is still here. Let's just wait on Him. So Father, we just come and we wait on You, Lord. We give You praise. We give You glory. I dare not touch Your ark. I dare not touch what You want to do today. But I say unto You, God, touch whatever You desire. This is Your place. This is Your house, God. Father, we're all vessels. Pour us out. Pour us out, Father. Because we are vessels to be used of You. We're on Your table. We're servants to be used of You. And because this is Your house, let us be those who enter in with that kind of respect. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. How many of you can testify today? And all you got to say is amen. That God is good.
Amen.
And I say to you, all the time. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what situation you're in. God is good. All the time. It doesn't matter. You see, that's the place where Paul had gotten when he was in prison in Philippi. And he's writing this Philippian letter. And so it was so important for him when he wrote this Philippian letter. To recap quickly, he was saying look, I am in prison. But you got to understand that what God is doing in me, for me, through me, in my situation, has nothing to do with my attitude, with who I am, and what my purpose in life is. He is not quenched within me. In fact, He is even more alive in me, even though I am in chains. And so last week I had an illustration of where I had a chair up here, and the guard, let's say this is the prison bars, and there's a guard that's sitting right outside, and here's Paul. Paul's talking to the guard. He's going, hey, Joseph, how are you? Came in kind of late. Things at home okay? Yeah. Things okay. Did you tell your wife and your kids about that other guy I was telling you about? Yeah. You told them about Jesus? Yeah. What'd they think? They were interested. Really? Well, that's great. What about you? What do you think about Jesus? Pretty interesting. Do you believe it? Yeah. I'm getting that cleansing feeling in me. He really can forgive all my sins? You better believe it. All you got to do is accept Him as your Lord and Savior. That's all I got to do? Yeah. Well, Joseph, you can do that right now. Really? Yeah. Well, my shift is over in about 30 minutes. Okay? So you go to the church in Philippi, talk to them, they'll get you going. And then you can start going to that church and get raised up in Christ. Now, when's the next shift start? 30 minutes. Okay. Next shift. Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, how you doing? How's your family? They're doing all right. How's your wife and how's your kids? Remember us talking yesterday? Yeah. About Jesus? Yeah. When's lunch coming? Because I need to talk to that guy that brings lunch. See, his chains didn't stop him from talking. They didn't put a muzzle on his mouth. His location had nothing to do with the purpose that he had in his life. He said, you pray for me. Great. And you pray for my deliverance. And that would be great too. But understand, I'm still doing the work. I'm still doing what I am to be doing. Turn to Philippians. Tom, would you go ahead and put up Proverbs 4:18? Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking down. Adrian. Talking about getting into a mindset, huh?
That's not my face.
Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the uncompromisingly just and righteous is like the light of the dawn that shines more and more brighter and clearer until it reaches its full strength and glory in the perfect day to be prepared. Isn't that great? That's us. That's a promise that you have as one who has accepted Jesus Christ. We are the uncompromising. We are the ones who are justified. How are we justified? We are justified because we have received the blood of Christ for our sins. It's not that we, by the flesh, have made ourselves righteous. It is by the blood of Christ that we have become righteous. Just and righteous is like the light of the dawn. Then why do we, as Christians, still suffer? We do. How do martyrs say, well, how do I do this? Well, let me tell you, we're still talking about martyrs. We're still talking about people who gave up their lives for Jesus Christ. Their light still shines because they did not love their lives unto death. That's the way they overcame the evil one. And we'll look at that scripture here in a minute. But you see, this is how we are supposed to look. Thank God. Thank God. In the era of Hollywood, in the era of Glamour magazine, our light is to shine brighter and brighter according to what? According to a spiritual prowess and not according to the latest fashion or makeup or, you know, at the end of each year, they usually have the trends that went on during the year, and you have those flash things, you know, where you know you saw what happened during the year, and you saw all the things that went on through the media, and I would think they're very interesting. And you see all the people that died, you know, these people died in the year 2017, and you go, oh, I didn't know they died. But the issue is, where are we in 2017 and where are we going in 2018? You see, Paul says, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happened in my past. In fact, later on in Philippians, he says, this is who I was. I was this, and I was that, and man, I was like the seventh son of the seventh son, and that should be my credentials. And man, people thought, man, he's a great guy. And you should really listen to him because he was a pedigree in the Jewish system. But he goes, I count all that but dung. I call all that but poop. To the surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. It's just not, it's nothing compared to knowing Christ. I don't care about all that other stuff. It doesn't give me life.
I'm going to start at verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, starting with verse 6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. I love that. I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work is going to complete it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He who began a good work in you. People who are control freaks, this freaks them out.
I am one of those people. Because I so want people to succeed. I'm a pastor. I mean, I'm not a pastor because I lead a church. I'm a pastor because that's the gifting that's within me. And not only am I pastor, I am an administrator. That's another gift that's within me. That's a combination of this. Not only do I want Jimmy to succeed, but I can administer his life that everything that he does can be toward the goal that he will succeed. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Okay, Jimmy, we're going to do this. And that's hard on me when he says, I think I can do it. No. I've had many people say no. And you know what God told me? He goes, he ain't yours. But God, he ain't yours. Did you die for him? No. Did you shed blood for him? No. Then let me work in him. Okay. But what if he messes up? What if he does? What are you going to do about it? I could help him. No. That's my job. That's God's job. That's who I say I am. I am the one. He says, the work that who started in him? God. I, who will complete? Man. You're talking about faith. I know you have faith for your stuff. That's great. Have faith for your stuff. But I got to have faith for you. It's just the way it is. As a leader, I got to have faith for you. And that's okay. That's God stretching me. Having faith for you. What does that do for me? What does that mean for 2018 for me? Prayer. It means prayer. It means praying for you, believing God for you. It means praying this prayer for you. The very thing that Paul was saying to them. I pray this for you. I pray that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. What if, and this happens, what if man does interfere and the people start looking toward the man that accomplishes these things in people's lives? Who do the people start worshiping? People start worshiping the man. Well, it's Joe Blow, he's the one that got me here. He's the one. His great preaching. Oh, his great counseling. Oh, his great voice. Oh, he's such a wonderful singer. Oh, do you see the worship? Oh, wow. They are so good. But were you fed the Word of God? Did the Word of God sustain you in your hour? I'm not saying that God doesn't use man on your behalf. I'm saying that all men should lead you back to Jesus. Lead you back to who God is. Who is God in your life? You see, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes from Arthur Rodriguez. Did anybody throw up during that? Jimmy about did. He just said it. About. He says, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Man. Verse 12, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. How can that be? You see, Paul was running around free. He was going to places. He was preaching the gospel, man. He was on the corner. He was in people's houses. He was at churches, and he was preaching that gospel. Boy, he was preaching Jesus. And people were coming by the droves. You need to hear this, Paul. You should see the miracles that's happening. You should see. They were excited. They were so excited, they were putting them in prison. You know? How dare you? How dare you get a following like that? When people get a following, they get nervous. Because if they're getting a following, revolt. Are you going to take my kingship? Then you don't know Paul. Because Paul don't want no other king but Jesus. And so they're getting nervous. So they said, you preaching another king, Jesus. Put him in prison. And he says, I am advancing the kingdom of God. Serve to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. What were those guards talking about? Have you had your turn guarding Paul? You know that's what they were talking about. Have you had your turn talking about? Did he talk to you about this guy Jesus? And this is the great part. I'm telling you, this is the great part. Did you feel that thing when he talked to you about Jesus? When he said, can we do a baptism of the Holy Spirit? Did you feel it? Yeah, but I wasn't going to say anything. Did you understand? No, I didn't understand it. But did you feel it? I did. Are you going to tell your wife? I don't know. She might think I'm a flake. Yeah. I wasn't going to tell my wife either. But you know, this is too good. This stuff is too good. I gotta tell my wife. I gotta tell my kids. I can't sit on this myself. It permeated through the imperial guard. They were talking about Paul. And all of a sudden another guy comes up going, what are y'all guys talking about? Paul, you too, huh? You know that's how it happened. You know that they were all around the water cooler going, what did y'all see last night? Oh, did y'all see the voice last night? Do y'all know who it was? They were talking about. He's going, this news is people can't help it. It was happening. And to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Long time ago, man, God, remember that prophet that came here? I don't even remember his name. I'm sorry. Denny Kramer. Man. He had a word of the Lord for me. And this is what he said. This was the word of the Lord that he had for me. And he said, many things happened in your life. And those things that happened in your life made you a better man and not a bitter man. Wow. And he was right. Read my mail. And then he said this. He says, people are going to look at you and they're going to say this. They're going to say, if Arthur can do it, I can do it. And I was excited about that. For a long time, I was excited about that. Until I started thinking about that. You know why? Because I started thinking about what I say. When I say that, who I say it about. Because if I say, Joseph can do that, I can do that. I don't have much of an opinion about him. Because I don't think he can do it. But then he did it. And I said, well, if he can do it, I can do it. And I thought, people must not have a high, very high opinion of me. Well, I'll be. That's okay, isn't it? That is okay, isn't it? Because it's not me who's doing it. It's Jesus Christ crucified that's doing it in me. It is by His power that's doing it in me. I don't have to jump all the hurdles that Jimmy does. See, Jimmy, smart man. He's got to jump that hurdle. Jimmy, beautiful man, got to jump that hurdle. Not me. I already know who I am. Not very smart. Didn't graduate big. Top of my class. Not the best looking guy. But this guy. Why? I've been down that road. He still has to jump hurdles. What does that make him? A better man. Every hurdle that you jump with God makes you a better man. Everything that you overcome in God makes you a better person. Everything that you understand and you say, I'm an overcomer in. Every sin that besets you and you say, God, I'm free. Makes you a better person in God. So once you recognize that, once you recognize that my flesh needs to die because it stinks. It stinks. One time we had a minivan. And Cole, our youngest son, we had him take it. And had a pot of beans. Pot of beans, put it in the minivan. Well, he spilled it. A few days later, rotten pinto beans in that van in the summertime got to be pretty stinky. It was terrible. That was nothing compared to my stinky flesh. You know how we can tell stinky flesh? It shows up all the time. I say things that are inappropriate. I act inappropriate. I do things that are inappropriate. And I don't shine brighter and brighter every day as the noonday. I'm the very example sometimes of not being that way. And there are times in my life that I am the example, that I know God, I'm walking with Him and I'm doing those things and I am moving in His light. Do you know those times? Do you recognize those times? Do you know when, man, I am rising up on wings of eagles, and there are times I'm a chicken that can't even get off the ground? You know those times? You know what can change those times? Acknowledging it. Just saying, God, man, this is where I'm at. This is who I am. God, I need help. God, I need you. God, show me. And I, God, show me the direction of my focus. You know, when I'm a chicken, it's usually when I'm focused so much on myself. When I'm going, I don't get this and I don't get that. And look at over there, they're better than me, and I can't have this, and I can't have that. And look at them, they're prospering, and I'm not prospering. God, how come? That's usually when I'm a chicken. But when I'm soaring as an eagle, it's usually when I'm going, God, how can I serve you today? Where? God, I'm going to be an overcomer today. Purify this heart. Purify this heart in me. And make me what you want me to be. I'm looking at 2017 and I'm saying, let me learn and forget 2018. I'm going to move in your glory. Your glory. Not mine. Your glory. See? See a big difference? Release the former Arthur. Release the former Jimmy. Release the former Sharon. Release it. Let it go. Let it forget what lies behind. Just let it go. There is no brooding about it. It's over. It's done with. That's the great thing about God. He has this huge eraser that has the blood of Jesus on it. And he says, there's nothing left. We're not holding you to anything. From this day forward, you can be my servant. You can be my child. You can. You can be. So what's stopping us? What's stopping us? Sometimes what's stopping us is the things that we want to hold on to. We want to hold on to things that we think serves us. God has given us a plan. God has given us something that he says, I want you to do. Now, I'm not telling you to go off the deep end. Okay, 2018, I'm going to start a new thing. I'm quitting my job. That's not what I'm saying. God's given you that job, and you're going to work it with excellence. You're going to do what God wants you to do. Unless God didn't give you that job. All I'm saying is, live your life unto God. Change your motivation. Change your heart. Change your focus. Change your outlook. Release the former Donna. Live unto the new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Really quick. I really thought I was going to get done here. Not happening. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, who's engrafted? Show of hands. Come on. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're engrafted. You're in there. You're in there. Let me tell you. You're engrafted in Christ, the Messiah. He is a new creation. We're a new creation. Isn't that cool? What's a creation? It's something that is created out of nothing. You're a new creation. It's not like he took the old parts and made them into a new part. He took it out of nothing. He made a new creation. That's you. A new creation. A new creature altogether. I like that in the Amplified. A new creature altogether. The old, previous, moral, spiritual condition has passed away. Glory, hallelujah. Behold, the fresh and new has come. I don't care if you've been a Christian one day or a Christian for 20 years. That is still true. Behold, the fresh and new has come. I talked last week about new wine in old wineskin. I got some over here. Can you tell my mouth is dry? Sorry. I talked about last week about new wine in old wineskin, that it doesn't work. That when you put new wine into old wineskin, the wineskin will burst. Why? Because the gases of the new wine will take that old wineskin and it can't expand anymore. And we have to be able to expand and change with the new wine. So when God comes and knocks on your door and he says, I got something for you. I got some new stuff for you. I don't want to. It's not up to you. I've got something for you. Don't you want it? Don't you want it? Don't you want it? There's something that came to me when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. See, I preached for 10 years before I ever believed in the gifts of the Spirit. I preached against the gifts of the Spirit. And I had to repent. And then a friend of mine came who also preached against the gifts of the Spirit. And I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it was a transformation in my heart. And I, that which was in black and white turned into color. I now saw things in color. I saw things in vibrancy. I saw things I had never seen before in the Word of God. I saw humility in a way I had never seen. Humility. If I had not known this new wine and had not been prepared to be able to change, I would have cracked up. It would not have been able to hold the new wine. And that's when I made the decision. I believe everyone has to come to this decision. Because I think God asks us to. And that is this. If it is from God, I want it. If it is from God, I want it. That's a huge commitment. Because let me tell you, can you imagine the 12 spies that went into Canaan? God told them, go and spy out the land. 12 went in. 10 came back and said, there's huge giants. We can't overcome them. 2 came back and said, God's on our side, we can do it. God said, this is the land of milk and honey. They said, there are grapes that are this big. There take 2 men to hold 1 cluster of grapes. They would have a pole in between them, and there'd be 1 cluster of grapes, and they would have to carry them like this. That's how big they were. This is the land of milk and honey. This is what God has prepared for us. But you have to go kill the giants before you get there. And they were going, we can't do it. And what did Joshua say? Joshua says, if God is with us, we can take the land. If God is with us, we can take the land. If God is with us, we can take the land. Have no fear. We make the mistake that says, my fear is a feeling. Fear is not a feeling. Fear is the paralyzing of your action. When you fear, when you have that emotion, it's natural. Everybody has the fear. Everybody gets fearful at times. But when it stops you, that's when fear has overcome you. But when you go in, even with the feeling, you have overcome fear. Because the Lord has said so. How many times have you done it? I've done it lots of times. I don't know what's going to happen here, but God, you and me, you said do it. I'm going to do it. I'm still here. Me and you go into a room. I don't know what's going to happen after we come out of this room, but we're going to come in that room anyway, aren't we? Oh my God. We're going to go in anyway. Because God told us. I was praying for Beth this week. She had lung stuff. She's going to go see her daughter and her grandchild. And she says, you don't have to put your hands on me. And I said, Beth, I learned a long time ago that laying hands on you to pray for healing. How can I not? How can I believe and pray for healing for you and be scared that I might get your sickness? How can I do that? I said, I learned when I went to a person who was dying of AIDS. And the guy that I was with saying, I ain't going in there. We don't know enough about AIDS. I could get it and I could die. I said, well, I thought we were praying here. We were here to pray for healing. Yeah. What are we doing here? If we're not believing that we're going to pray for healing for this man, what are we doing here? So I went in by myself. And I prayed for a man who had AIDS, and I laid hands on him because I believe God told me to. So your cold was no big deal. What circumstance does God have you in? Well, let me tell you what. There are no circumstances big enough that He can't take care of it. He can take care of it. He can move you through it. And whether He strengthens you beforehand or whether He strengthens you after, it doesn't matter. Every step of faith will be rewarded. Will be rewarded. I promise you that. Every step of faith will be rewarded. There's a scripture that I'll try to get to next week because I believe God, that our confidence in 2018 will be in God and not in our own flesh.